Steve, first of all, then, there's actually quite a bit to get through as regards team news issues at the minute. So, who's a casualty at the minute?
Well, we're really waiting to hear, Andy. Obviously, Matt Tubbs was a casualty on Saturday with a sickness bug and not so good at the other end as well, without me getting any descriptions. And that's best. And obviously, you know, four or five other players have reported symptoms partly or wholly, like Matt. And they've developed anything since Friday up until today. So really what we've done is we've trained who we've got. We'll have a bit of a roll call in the morning, see how people are. There is only one upside to this, is that we're told it's a 24-hour bug, and when it's gone, it's gone. So let's see who we've got mid-morning, and then we'll settle on a squad and, more importantly, a team for Fleetwood.
So are there four or five players who are ill right now that might just not be available for selection tomorrow night?
Yeah, that's a possibility. Obviously, the competition governs you in terms of who you can play, in terms of six players from your previous or next 11 or best appearances, whatever it is. But we've done all the calculations, so we're absolutely 100% sure that we'll adhere to the competition rules. Just as to who fits around the rest of the team, it will be tomorrow.
What about Pablo Mills? Because he was injured, wasn't he? How's his recovery coming along?
It'll be a few days yet. He won't be available. You know, Pablo won't be around till probably Thursday, Friday. But it is a few more days. It's not weeks or two. So it's a few days. Rob Mielsen should certainly be back in training probably towards the end of the week. Michael O'Connor, end of next week before he's in full training. So from that point of view, none of the guys that were missing just through natural injuries are suddenly going to be back available to us. And of course, we have Michael Tidza suspended from Saturday, so it's in a bit of illness. So it's not a good time, but it tends to be days and it's not going to be weeks. That's the upside.
Trouble is, though, it's all come at once, hasn't it, within the space of, what, 7 days, I suppose, since the previous game?
Well, listen, people know what the FA Cup means to us as a management team. I know what it means to some of those players who are still hurting this morning from the fact that we've gone out. But in reality, the Football League, League One, is much more important to us and what we're achieving and trying to do in that. And dare you ever say it, but you'd rather have this type of setbacks in a cup competition or two rather than league points when they're at stake, because the priority, number one priority, has been wholly ready for Bristol City on Saturday. And that will be always in the front of my mind, even going to Fleetwood tomorrow night. But when we wake up tomorrow morning, it's a match. We're representing Rotherham United. We're a couple of games away from that Wembley Stadium, which is fantastic, and we want to be there if we can. But we have to be very mindful of the bigger picture. But we will be as strong as the personnel will allow us to be tomorrow night.
Will you be able to select the players you've recently brought in on loan?
They're available to us in terms of they're available because they can play in the Johnson Spain Trophy. Whether all three of them are fit to play will depend on how they feel tomorrow.
The wider question with those, and I realise two of them haven't been around at Rotherham United for that long, is there any scope at all of Tavernier, Dicko sticking around for longer? Is there potential for other deals there in the pipeline?
There's potential for them to be around, and there's potential for other players to come in. And we will be in the market in January. What we're trying to do is, we never hid it as far back as August, September, October, that our aim was to be in the promotion top six race. Now, whether that means we're 7 points, seventh position, 3-4 points off it, then I would say we're in the race, and therefore we'll be very active in hopefully strengthening the January market. Our chairman's endorsed that, as he always does, but what we're not going to do is we're not going to go out of way to not give value for money. It must always be about value for money, and it must always be about adding to what we've got.
Given the fact that things are a little bit threadbare at the minute, and I realise with certain contracts there are certain rules, what scope would you have? Would you consider dragging back some of the players you've got on loan to supplement the squad? Because it really was thin on Saturday, wasn't it?
No.
No, not at all? Why not?
Well, the only one that perhaps might play a part in the future would be Danny Hilton. Nardella's gone. He's signed with Bury for the season. That's just waiting to be activated. Kyode Odigie is the same, just waiting to be activated. He's gone. And David Noble and Lionel Ainsworth do not have a part to play in what we're trying to do going forward. I can't be any more clearer than that.
No. And younger players that you've got that are just beneath perhaps that level as well? Because why I'm asking this is, a few fans have sort of seen the bench and the numbers and thought, well, couldn't a few of the younger kids have got to go on Saturday?
Well, the only one that we could have added to that bench would have been Nicky Walker. And Nicky Walker was cup-tied, of course, so we couldn't have done that. So, and what I'm never going to do, and no one seemed to pick up on it at Coventry when we had four subs, did they? What we're not going to do is we're not going to put kids on that bench who have got absolutely, let me say it in simple terms, no chance of playing in the first team. So the other guys on the bench all had a chance. David Warrows was limited because he's been just come back into training from being injured, but they have no chance. And I'm not going to kid those kids on. I'm not going to give them false hopes. More important, I'm not going to give the parents false hopes. And I'm not going to people sitting in the house thinking it's great if a son's on the bench at Rotherham and he's 17 and he's going to be a star when they've got no chance of playing in their first team as it stands today. That doesn't mean it's the same for those kids come March or April.
No. Let's look at Fleetwood then. So as a challenge, what do you make of them?
Well, I think they'll be the champions ultimately. I think if you look at League Two, I think there's 9 or 10 clubs, Andy, where there's 3 or 4 points separate the teams. And you've got one or two managers up there who talk about being the champions. And Graham Alexander, the manager at Fleetwood, is not one of them. He talks about just consistently having a promotion season. I think they'll be the champions because I think ultimately they'll have the resources to do what they need to do at any stage of the season. And that's thanks to a man I know very well, their chairman, Andy Pilley, who's very much like our chairman. He's invested his hard-earned money. They've got good players throughout the squad. You only had to look at the strength of their bench on Saturday. It was incredible for League Two. And people like Ryan Cresswell sitting there tells you how strong that bench is then. So from that point of view, they'll be well organised, they'll be strong, they'll be dynamic, and they'll play with a real tempo. And they'll want to beat us because we're Rotherham United. But clubs in League Two tend to want to beat Rotherham United because we're a big club.
And they've turned over 3 League One teams to reach this stage of the competition, so they've fired out a few warning signs.
Yeah, and I think if anyone breaks down the personnel, you don't need a warning sign. You know how good they are. And they've been in the market. I think they've probably spent the best part of £500,000 in recruiting players since the summer. So they'll be a decent side. We need to go there. We need to try and get as many of our better players out there as we can. And on top of that, not only do we need them out there, we needed them to perform. If we perform and we've got better players out there, we'll get a positive result.
I realise a lot of the talk after the game was about the performance of the referee on Saturday. But within the post-game interview that you gave us, you also spoke about the performance overall not being up to scratch. What went wrong then, upon reflection, a couple of days later?
Well, I think obviously you can't compare previous performances because, as I said to you guys on Saturday, it's apples versus oranges. When you're playing players out of position, it's very, very tough. I think the best example is Kieran Agard. I've never seen him as a striker, never. But because he gets 12 goals from a wide position, people automatically assume he could play as a striker. That's an example of where we lacked a little bit. But we had 3 or 4 of our top players that just couldn't get going. And I think in the words of the opposition manager, Keith Hill, on Saturday, you know, Rotherham should have been 3 up. And in cup ties, you know, you always need to take a chance. If we'd have gone 2 up, it was cup tie over. But when we failed to take that, and given we were on borrowed time with players out of position, we couldn't affect anything positively from the bench. And then we go down to 10 men and a cup tie that's finally balanced at 1-1. And we had a little bit of naivety from Michael Tidzer, then it really makes it a long day.
Have you had to have a word with him about getting sent off in the way that he did?
I'd more importantly had a word with him about his performance, considering how he played in the previous 2 games. He really stood out at Coventry away. He was magnificent. I used that word properly against Gillingham. And I think he knows he didn't prepare properly enough for the game during the week. And if you don't prepare properly, like we used to have this conversation with Daniel Nardiello, if you don't work hard and train hard and prepare properly, your performance is normally down, I don't know, 25-30%, and Michael's was down. But the nice thing about Michael Tidzer is he knows it, and he's come in Sunday and Monday and worked extremely hard.
So now it's getting serious in this competition, isn't it? You know, you're only a couple of games away from potentially playing at Wembley too. All of a sudden, the interest in this competition, from everybody really, starts to raise up a few notches up the ladder, doesn't it?
I think it'll go up if we can get a result at Fleetwood. I think I don't hide the fact that our priority is Bristol City on Saturday. That, of course, changes at 7:45 tomorrow night when we play Fleetwood Town. But, of course, if we go through that and then we're in a 2-legged home and away final of the Northern section to go to Wembley, then that would be fantastic, because given the players we've got in our dressing room, and by that time, hopefully, we've got 1 or 2 back from injury, I don't think anyone can beat us over 2 games in that league.
Do you think you're favourites, then? Do you think if I was sat in a different manager's office, they'd say, look, well, Rotherham have got to be favourites for this competition this year?
I think if we had the full squad available to us, there would be a definite tick in the box. I'm not so sure when they look at the squad and the personnel that we're looking at today, with the likelihood of what we might have to do tomorrow night, whether they would all think that then, given the strength of Fleetwood. But, you know, let's see where tomorrow night takes us. We know the importance of it. And when we go there, we'll be heading and kicking and screaming for every challenge. We want to win. And that's what this football club's about. It's been very successful over the last 18 months. We've got ourselves in the top six in League One. That's through hard work. But the hard work, as we all know, only really starts now. And when it gets to squeaky bum time in February, March, some will fall away. We've just got to make sure we're not one of them. But as these lads proved last year, they don't look squeaky bum type. They look bring it on. That's what they look like.